Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a million days and a million nights. Oh, I still remember how your love changed my life. Not enough words in my vocabulary to express how I feel. And I still pinch myself just to see if it's clear that a man ain't supposed to cry. But I'll put my pride aside. Let these tears fall from my eyes. I'm so happy you're still in my life.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast. I am your host tonight, Brother Manny. And you know what tonight is? That's right. It's Monday night. Why am I so excited? Well, this is an opportunity for you, the listener, to call in and ask the brothers on the broadcast a question that you might have. That's right. Tonight is Ask the Minister. That's right. Ask the Minister. And I'm so excited. You know, we're going to have the brothers on in a little bit. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible, and when you finished reading whatever scripture you're reading, and you just start to kind of scratch your head like, oh, man, I don't really know what that means. I don't know what the author of that scripture there is saying. Or perhaps maybe you just overheard someone quote a Bible verse or say something spiritual, and I don't know, you just thought maybe it was a little confusing or it didn't sound right. Well, tonight is your opportunity. I'm going to have the brothers on real soon, and the brothers are going to be here, you know, perhaps add some insight or some clarity to some things. And, you know, and hopefully we were able to enlighten and educate some folk, you know. And we all need some help. Nobody knows everything, you know. But the brothers are here, and I'm happy to have them on. They take time, 1 hour, you know, out of their Monday evening. They could be doing something else, you know, to kind of answer. We'll try and attempt to answer your question. So if you have a question, call in 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We also have a presence on social media. We have a Facebook page. It's called God's Word to Man on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, I want you to go on over and like and follow that page, because we post a lot of content there, videos, updates, and even when we have, you know, these types of broadcasts that we have tonight, when we have, you know, Ask the Minister and open line discussion, whatever the situation may be, a lot of the time we post there on that Facebook page, okay? And that way you'll be able to be up to date, notified if we have anything coming up. All right? So that's what tonight is. Tonight is Ask the Minister, 323-870-3403. All right? And so without further ado, I'm going to bring on the first brother who has called in to help us out. God bless you, Rev. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you, Brother Manny? God bless you.
Oh, God bless you as well. I'm doing pretty good. Very excited about tonight. I have a few questions already, and you know, we're just going to do what we normally do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
If you don't mind, Rev, can you open us up in prayer? And we'll go ahead and we'll get started as we wait on the other brothers to call in.
Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before your throne of grace. And God, we thank you. We praise you. God, we just exalt your holy name, God, because there is none like you. Father God, we pray that your presence will be on this line, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, God, that we will not be giving our opinion, Father God, but we'll be giving the unadulterated word of God. And God, we pray your abundant and overflow blessing upon Brother Manny for allowing this platform, Father God, to even exist, God, that we might be able to help understand your word more. And so, God, just have your way, we pray, and ask it in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Rev, I just want to give you a quick minute to kind of introduce yourself, let everybody know who you are and how long you've been in ministry.
Amen. My name is Joseph Murphy. I've been in ministry since 1991. I am a pastor here in Memphis, the Caring Church of Memphis. And I am married to my beautiful wife, Adrian, of almost 26 years, 27 years, actually. And we have 5 beautiful kids, 1 boy, 4 girls. And we just thank and praise God. Amen. For an opportunity to share on this platform.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. And if the other brothers call in, I'll go ahead and pass them through. That's all right with you, Rev. That's okay?
Amen. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Again, the call in to ask your question is 323-870-3403. First question we have here, Rev, it's how do you or how can you tell when someone is operating prophetically? How do you or how can you tell when someone is operating prophetically? I guess this question comes from the idea or the situation where you have a lot of people out here calling themselves prophets or prophetess or whatever the situation may be, and they love to speak things over people's lives. You know, normally people, they really buy in if the person is considered a prophet or prophetess or what have you. And so I'm guessing this person is trying to ask, how can you tell if it's real or if it's not real, if the person is just saying some things or whatever?
Amen. Well, first and foremost, prophecy should not just be information, but it should be confirmation. And so God's not going to share something with somebody in most cases that he hasn't shared with that individual. And when I say share with that individual, it could be a situation where they maybe heard it before from someone else, but the bottom line is, at some point, God is going to still even share it with them. And so if somebody is speaking something into my life about what God is sharing with them, God is just not the kind of God who's going to simply share what he has for me with somebody else and never at any point attempt to share it with me. And prophecy should always line up with the word of God. So if somebody's prophesying and they're not, and it can't be tracked through scripture or a way of confirmation from what God has already shared with the person who's being prophesied to, then chances are it's not accurate.
Okay. Amen. I agree with you 100%. I know that there's a lot of false prophecy and a lot of people who are just out here and they like to stir up the people and the people of God by giving them a good word. And sometimes you get drawn in, Rev, you know, with all the hype that is sometimes associated with going to church, you know, especially a lot of these mega churches. They invite, you know, certain individuals to come and speak, and they're prophetess this or prophet that. And, you know, I guess if it's, is there a way that is there maybe a scripture that you can give that would help where people can go, for an example, let's just say, you know, in this particular situation, you know, this was prophesied and it didn't come true, and or whatever, or is that pretty much what you just, you know, laid out?
So, really, when it comes to receiving anything from anybody, we always got to, like I was saying before, we always got to bounce it against what does Scripture say? And so mm-hmm. the Bible tells us, and I don't have it right in front of me, and I apologize for not knowing it off the top of my head, but the Scripture tells us to try the Spirit by the Spirit and see if it's of God.
Right.
And,
amen. I'm sorry. I've been calling ever since 7, Brother Emmanuel, but a dozen or two times, but it wouldn't go through. But I finally did. I'm here whenever you need me.
Okay,
Daniel. Yeah, Brother Daniel's actually telling the truth about that, because I had to call about 4 times too before I actually got in. So I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah, it just might be some technical difficulties. We'll
okay.
I'm glad it happens.
Well, I'm
know,
on so. There now, praise the Lord.
Amen, Brother Daniel. Go ahead, Rev. Did you want to finish up, or were you?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was saying. That's why it's important for all of us to have a personal relationship with God. God never intended for us to be a people who simply just went to church, listened to the pastor, but never came back home and had a personal relationship. You know, we go to church and we assemble ourselves for a corporate reason, and that's fine, and thank God for it. And I would tell people, yes, go to church. But when it's all said and done, whatever the pastor has laid out in the sermon, as a member, you owe it to yourself and your own personal relationship with God to go back home and study it to make sure it's the truth of what the Bible is talking about. And
amen.
So in that regard, if someone was to prophesy to me, I have Scripture to bounce off what they said to me, and I also have the Holy Spirit to say to me, now, that doesn't sit well in my spirit, and that doesn't sound like something God has for me. And as I said once before, most prophecy should almost always be just a sense of confirmation. Now, there's and obviously, you to me, and it's maybe because I've been in church, you know when people are up there just spitballing, and you know when people are authentic. And so this whole sense of there being prophets out here, they're only prophets in the regard of that's what they call themselves, because when you they are prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, because they're out here looking to gain something off of people. But there are some true authentic prophets who bring prophecy, and I'm gonna tell you what, it's not always good stuff. So
amen.
Sometimes it's ways of warning, and so people need to learn how to heed both. And even in the sense of the warnings that a prophet may give, chances are God has shown you that as well. So, again, I would say the overwhelming part of prophecy should be confirmation,
yes,
and not just information.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Daniel, would you like to comment on that question, or would you like the next question?
Well, bless your heart, you covered it. I don't know what I could and add to that. I mean, it's just 100% right. One of the things about prophecy and laying on of hands, the scriptures say that Paul said that war, a good warfare by the prophecy that went over on the good prophecy is a great blessing. But it, just like you brought out so eloquently, the Lord helped you. It could be either way. And you want to pray about it. If you don't feel a witness, why run? And run to the scripture. You can't go wrong with the scripture. But prophecy comes through a human channel, and it could be either way, just like you said. And I know it's real. Hey, I'm not putting down prophecy. Oh, we need it. We need
absolutely.
It. It's the Bible says it's the greatest gift. And but it says tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. And seek the gifts, but rather that you prophesy. It puts it at the number one. So we need all nine of them, actually. And they're wonderful. They're a great blessing. It was embarrassing to me. I would, no matter where I'd go in a church, I sat in the back, in the middle. I wouldn't even be dressed like anybody special or anything. And I'd go to spirit-filled meetings and non-denominational before I knew that the Church of Christ Elijah message existed. And they would give me a prophecy, sometime directly to me, other time just reading my mail, and it was almost embarrassing. But at any rate, it was an encouragement. And that's one of the main things about prophecy, isn't it, is to encourage us. And,
amen,
okay,
bro.
Well,
amen.
That's so, what I thought. But it's a wonderful blessing, and we need it. We need it badly, but we need dedicated, holy men of God speaking as they're moved by the Holy Ghost, not by their own mind.
Amen.
There's a lot of warnings in the scripture about.
Amen. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Let's see if we'll get
we
back on.
We need it. It's a wonderful blessing, but just don't be naive. God's people are sweet and wonderful and precious and humble, but
amen.
Sometimes they're naive. You know, they just don't.
That's right. That's right,
brother. You know, broad-minded, you can fall for anything. But if you study
amen.
The scripture, there'll be a witness that that's according to the scripture. Then you got
amen.
Some. You can stand on that. You can let
amen.
Hell assail, and you won't be fazed because you got a rock of revelation. And rock is a scripture, the word of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost through the blood of Jesus. And
amen. Speaking of that, brother, I want to ask
about
this
enough
question.
For me to be saying, but I want the other brothers to get on here. They do such a good job.
Amen. Well, it's
amen.
Just you and Rev today, so far it's just the two of you. And the next question I'm going to pose to you, Brother Daniel. The question is, if I can't speak in tongues, you were speaking about tongues a few minutes ago, does that mean I don't? Does that mean I don't have the Holy Spirit?
Boy, that's a good question. Everybody wants to know about that very question, and it's a necessary to understand. Well, it depends on several factors. Number one, we can't walk in light we don't have, but we need to study the scripture to get the right light, because everything got to be judged according to it is written. And that's number one. And it can be both ways. Now, that's a good answer. I couldn't get any more ambiguous than that. But at any rate, if a person, it's not, it's the pattern. Brother Terrell says, just get the shoe. The tongue will come along with it. Don't worry about the tongue. But a lot of times, charismatic and so on, they will make tongues the baptism. No. The baptism is a baptism. You get filled with the Spirit. Don't seek tongues. That'll open you up to error. Seek Jesus and his baptism, and seek to be covered with the blood and forget yourself and get your mind on praising Jesus. And he said this, the angel says, find worship. And it says, find the Holy Spirit baptism. It indicates that. Don't say those words exactly. But it does say that we need the Spirit of God in these last days. If we ever did, we need it. But tongues, there's two kinds. That's number up there pretty close to the top, to understand there are two kinds of tongues. But I've known people that had more of the humility and the love of God, and they didn't speak tongues, than other people that spoke in tongues and were haughty and high-minded, you know, and would stab you in the back in a split second, but they could talk in tongues. So it isn't tongues we need. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Ain't
amen,
that right?
Amen. That's right. Rev,
yes,
you want to add anything to that?
It'll be a real language. This is was on my heart today when I was praying about your wonderful podcast and a wonderful privilege to be on it. God bless. I'm just so thankful. But at any rate, this is what come to me, that when I would go to different meetings, Pentecostal meetings or whatever, not charismatic ones, I avoid those at any cost, but there's both kinds out there in Pentecostalism. And when they'd give a message in tongues, they'd all go to shouting and get apparently happy and just drowning out the interpretation, and they all shouting. And when the Lord would speak to me a real language, one time Spanish, you know, another a Catholic priest that got saved, they're very educated. He said, I spoke, you know, Russian and several other languages in tent revival I was holding in Kansas City. And they would get quiet. Everybody quiet down when the Lord would give a tongues message and interpretation through me. And I thought, well, what's the matter with me? They all get happy and they shouting and yelling and I don't know what all they were doing. And then when I'd give one, everybody get quiet as a church mouse. Well, the difference, many years later, I find the Lord helped me understand that God's Spirit is peace. I love hymns about his peace. And then the chorus, I got peace like a river and love like a river. God is a God of peace. The angel emphasizes, I don't know, 100, 200 times, I should count them, a peace. God is more interested. Contention destroys and wildness and all that. Now, I'm not putting
Amen.
Down praising the Lord. I love to praise the Lord. Oh, they praise the Lord. It's a noisy place, heaven. They praise the Lord and worship God with all their heart,
Amen,
mind,
brother.
Body, and soul and strength in heaven. And we should, too.
Amen, brother.
But we should
brother
be
Daniel.
In the... Is that good? Is that okay, Brother Emmanuel?
Oh, yes, sir. That's
what
good.
I believe.
That's more than just
we
good.
Need
that's
to,
real good.
Okay, thank you. We need this, and we need to praise God, and we need tongues, and they'll come with
Amen.
It. That's
Amen.
The ordinary way to get the Spirit.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with Spirit and spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, Brother Daniel is correct. The short answer is that, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's an evidence. It's not the sole evidence. And so, I'm with Brother Daniel. You know, a lot of times people will come off in a particular way, like he said, haughty, high-minded, lifted up, and pride, and all of those things. And that's not the nature or character of God. And so, at the end of the day, speaking in tongues is an evidence, but it's not the sole evidence of you having the Holy Spirit. So,
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Next question, Rev. And we're going to try to keep these responses to 3 minutes, Brother Daniel and Rev. So that way, if people want to call in, they have the opportunity to call in and ask questions. I do have questions already. And so the third question is, should prayer be done outwardly or inwardly? Should prayer be done outwardly or inwardly? I think it comes from, this is a question that I even thought myself sometimes about. You know, obviously, growing up in the Church of Christ is a holiness church, and you know, there was a lot of loud prayer, you know, and people praying, and so that's kind of all I ever knew. So I can kind of relate to this question. And then you go to some churches where everyone kind of just prays within. So, Rev, could you go ahead and tackle that? Can or should prayer be done inwardly or outwardly?
So I would say that it's contingent upon the setting that you're in. So if I'm out, let's say, praying over food, if I'm out in the public, I'm not praying to draw attention to myself, because the Bible speaks against that. We don't pray with swelling words and eloquent words so that we can draw attention to ourselves, because prayer is not necessarily about us. It's a communication that we have with God. So if I am in a public setting such as church, and I've been asked to pray, or it's my responsibility as part of the service to pray, then of course at that point it must be a form of corporate prayer, and so there's nothing wrong with praying out loud. And even just as to add on to that, even in a public setting such as church, if someone's praying out loud in a corporate setting, that doesn't stop the people from joining in praying as well, silently, or unless instructed otherwise, you know, out loud. So I think the best answer is, you know, it really does depend on the setting, and it depends on the person's, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. Obviously, if God called you to a street ministry and he called you to go outside and, I mean, stand on the street corner and pray for people, then, you know, you do that, you know, decent and in order. But, you know, the outward prayer, as long as it's not trying to draw attention to yourself, then you could pray outwardly if that's what the setting calls for. Outside of that, I would say, if the setting calls for you to pray inwardly, then you should pray inwardly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Daniel, would you like Would you like to comment on that as well?
Well, God love you. You cover things so good. I don't know that. The main thing is to pray from the heart. Amen. And he don't hear the vain sputter and babbling of the lips. But if it's from the heart, it can
be. That's right.
What was the name of the lady? Was it Hannah that was barren? And she was weeping and praying in her heart. And her mouth was moving, but she wasn't making any sound. And Eli, the high priest prophet, he thought she drunk. And he accused her of it. And she said, "Oh, no, my Lord, I just got a great burden because I don't have any children." And then the Spirit told through him that she would, and she did. And she dedicated him to the Lord. That was Samuel. And he, from 3 years old, she took him to the temple, and he lived in the temple the rest of his growing up time, but she prayed in her heart, and it didn't make any sound. But other times it says Christ himself cried with a loud voice, and we have to yield to the Spirit, and whatever the Spirit will be a gentleman, he'll be decent and ordered, just like you quoted. And it won't be wild and crazy, but it'll be in earnest. It'll be, it'll be crying out. And one time, it's Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And one time I walked into a little church at Blue Eye, Missouri. It was a little big church, about 15 by 20, and had a giant blue cross. It was as big as a church. Neon, beautiful, big neon blue cross. I felt to go in, and I knelt down and was praying, and I didn't know what for. I just was groaning and carrying on. Nobody there but me and my wife. And then I felt the burden lift, and there was a house nearby, and I felt to go over to the house, and it had a lady preacher there, and I told her a little bit of my testimony, I guess, and that the Lord used me in praying for the sick, and then that did it. She said, "Well, there's a man has cancer, and he's dying. He's almost dead. Would you pray for him?" And I thought, oh, I done opened my mouth, stuck my foot in it. And I said, I just got through saying I pray for the sick. And so I said, "Well, okay." And she took me over. He was in a mobile home. And they opened my door, and we went back in to the back of it where he was laying in the bed, and he was in bad shape, like warmed over death. You know, he was dying of cancer, been laying there for weeks. And so I went to praying, and I wasn't praying quiet. Now, I tell you for sure, I was praying with all my might. And I said, "Now, silver and gold have I little, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise and walk." And that man started trying to get out of that bed, and he did. He got up, and I was on one side, and my wife was on the other, and we're going down the hallway, and he got a little ways down it, and his wife was there and watching all this, kind of surprised and didn't know what to think about all of it, I guess, it seemed like. And he got about that far, and she said, "It's time. Don't you think that's far enough? You better get back in that bed." And he looked at her in the eye, and he said, "Woman, if you'd laid in that bed as long as I had, you wouldn't say that." and we just kept walking and praying and praising the Lord. And he got out the living room and sat down and smiling big. Well, we checked back later, weeks later, and they said he's doing fine. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
But it
Amen.
All started with groaning. I didn't know what I was groaning about, but the Lord did, didn't he? And it worked. It's the
Amen.
Anointing that destroys the yoke. It ain't us humans. We ain't got no power. I say I couldn't heal a fly with a headache, but God can do anything that we can
Amen.
Believe in. That's
Amen.
Good. So tongues
Amen.
Are good,
Amen.
And praying quietly is good, and praying out loud is good.
Amen.
The Lord's
Amen. Thank you, Brother
it, you know, it just depends.
Thank you,
on the Lord
Daniel,
and what would be, like you said, appropriate.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Daniel. I appreciate it. I want to welcome on Brother Nate. Brother Nate, God bless you. How are you today?
God bless you, brothers. How y'all doing today?
God bless you, Brother
Amen.
Nate.
Amen.
Good, man.
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. That actually leads us into our next question. Why aren't we seeing people do the same miracles that Jesus did back in Bible times? Why aren't people doing the same miracles today that Jesus did back in Bible times? I know Brother Daniel just told us about a time that the Lord worked through him, but we don't see a lot of it. And so, Brother Nate, you want to, I know you just came on, but if you want to tackle that question, you also are welcome to defer to either of the brothers on here. We have Reverend Murphy and we have Brother Daniel.
Well, yeah, I will answer that. Unbelief. You know, and not saying every single one of us is wrapped up in unbelief, but, you know, when you look at the book of Acts, church, you know, to tell you the truth, they put us to shame. The power that they walked in. I mean,
Amen.
Anytime a man's shadow, I mean, just his shadow, and you're getting healed. That's power.
Amen.
And here we is, we cry when we get a bill in the mail. We upset, we can't think straight. We can't even talk to folks straight because we got a bill yesterday we didn't expect. And so, but that's not going to stay like that. I want to say that. It is not
Amen.
Going to stay like that.
Amen.
The
Amen.
People
yeah.
of the Lord, and I'm talking about the ones who really, yes to your will, Lord, is going to receive a greater power. And
Amen.
And going
that's
to right. There's no way Jesus is going to tell you greater works you shall do and you not do it. It's going to be
Amen.
Done. And who's going to done do it? It's going to be the true believers. See everybody's
Amen.
Not being a true believer. We got to understand that everybody, just because people are in the church, don't mean everybody's a true believer.
That's right.
But the
right.
true believers, see, that's who Jesus was talking about, the true believers. He wasn't talking about just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about
Amen.
The true believers. He said, greater works ye shall do. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's going to happen. Our problem
uh-huh.
right now is that the unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
The unbelief has been
mm-hmm.
circulating around the Christian circle,
uh-huh.
around the Christian body. Unbelief been kind of gnawing here, gnawing there, gnawing here, gnawing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear
mm-hmm.
our words of unbelief. We talk words
yeah.
of unbelief. In fact, we take
Amen.
The doctor's word over Jesus' word.
Wow.
When not, don't get me wrong. I respect the doctors, but they're not God. And the problem
That's
is
right.
is that we would take their word over Jesus. So when somebody come and tell us to let us pray, we already got it made up in our mind. It ain't going to work. So so that unbelief is gnawing. But this day, you're going to see some true believers rise. And you're going to see
Amen.
Them receive a greater power. Because like I said, the book of Acts church, they put us to shame. They really do.
Amen.
I mean, you read the book of Acts church, you will close the book and probably start crying. Because why? You're thinking of yourself and say, oh, my God, have mercy on me. Because in the book of Acts church, y'all brothers know for a fact, even if you lied, you was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the husband and wife
Amen.
Team. Ask the husband
Amen.
And wife team. It wasn't. Now what we got today in the church, we got sin running rampant, people okaying sin, justifying sin, everything about sin and enjoying sin, and then we're talking about we looking for God to move. What God is looking for to move? It ain't the true and living God. You must be talking about that little G God, that fella, because not the true and living God. He can't move when sin is running prevalent in the church.
Amen.
So this is why God is causing the true believers to rise. I'm talking about the ones that say, hey, it's going to be the standard of the Lord or it's not going to be. They the ones going to receive the greater power, and they're going to do the works because, once again, our Lord does not speak in vain. And he is not going to say greater works ye shall do and it not be done. He's going to have a people that's going to do the greater works. So that's my take on that.
That's great.
Amen. In the interest of time, we're going to move on to the next question, if that's all right with you, Rev. Next question. Why were men permitted to have more than one wife in the Bible, but not now? Why were men permitted to have more than one wife during Bible times? I guess that's what they're trying to say. Back in the day and during the Bible times, men had many wives. Men of God had concubines. And now everybody has, you know, or it's frowned upon to have more than one wife or whatever. Can you expound on that, Rev? You could also defer if you'd like.
Amen. I don't mind talking about it. I would just like to say, I want to ask God the same thing when I sin. I'm just kidding. Listen, you know what I tell people all the time? I can't afford the wife I have, let alone a girlfriend. So I'm glad that it ain't like that. But
amen.
I'll just briefly say this, so the other brothers can comment. It was more of a cultural thing, and it was more necessary at that time. It's not necessary now. It's not a part of our culture either, and so that has a large part to do with why it's not acceptable now. For those two major reasons, it's not necessary, and it's not really part of our culture. And I'll yield to the other brothers to kind of help out with that. They don't mind.
Amen. Brother Daniel, would you like to comment on why men in the Bible days were allowed to have multiple wives and now men aren't?
Well, the brother answered it exactly right. That is exactly the truth. When they asked Jesus along that line about marriage, he said from the beginning it was not so. God made Adam and he made Eve, just one man and one woman for life. That's the ideal. That's the goal. That's what he wants. But now, the Lord, because of the culture, just like the brother said, it was the culture. Abraham had the wife the Lord gave him, Sarah. But then it was the culture that the handmaiden, if the wife okayed it and approved and so on, she could let him be like a secondary wife or a concubine. And Jacob changed name Israel. Jacob had two wives, but on account of the circumstances, and then they each gave him their handmaiden, so he ended up with four. And but the Lord, the Bible says in times past, he winked at it. He permitted it, but it wasn't his perfect will. And
right.
We get to the New Testament. Jesus said, hey, it's one man, one woman for life. You know, it ain't any other way. That is the rule. That is what Jesus said. So we're not allowed anymore to have concubines. Scripture says David and Solomon truly had many wives, concubines, which thing was displeasing to the Lord. And for the Lord delighteth in the chastity of women. So even one wife, you could be unchaste in your relations. And it's got to be in holiness. It's got, the key to it, the key to everything, the bottom line is unselfishness. True,
amen.
Unselfish love of God. That's what it's supposed to be. And if you got that, you don't want another one. You don't need one, don't want one. Either two husbands or two wives. You want that one lady to be your queen and be special and only
Amen.
Her. And that's
Amen.
That's the way I see it.
Amen. You're right, brother. You're right. We're going to move on in the interest of time to the next question. Brother Daniel, the next question is the Pope the Antichrist? Is the Pope the Antichrist?
Oh, do you want me to make a comment?
Yes, sir. This,
I
that's
can.
Your question.
Okay. Well, yes and no. There's a good ambivalent answer. Down through the centuries, since about the 606, when the Bishop of Rome assumed to be the head bishop, and the persecution started against the Christians by the Bishop of Rome and his cohorts. They, all of those Christians from then on, said the Pope was the Antichrist because they killed 60 million Christians that wouldn't go along with their false doctrines that men forgive sins and they could buy indulgences to sin and they could perform a mass to pray people out of purgatory, which is not mentioned in the Bible or Catholic Bible or Protestant Bible. There's no such a thing as purgatory. But if you pay them money, they'll pray out. A priest invented it about the 10th century because the organized church at that time was in a bad way financially, and so they've been at it ever since. But to the bottom line is, he is Antichrist, but not the Antichrist. He is a Antichrist. And they, like I said, they've killed Christians. They persecute them now where they can.
Yeah.
And I've talked to them that been persecuted. And the widow was killed by three priests in Mexico. They were passing out tracts from a little Piper Cub airplane, and they shot it down, and three priests did, and killed the two missionaries, which, like I say, I talked to, I knew the widow, and she went, got married again and went right back to Mexico with all her children. A dedicated lady, but he is a Antichrist, and the doctrines of his church is called the Great Harlot in Revelation 17 and the 5th verse, and the 2 chapter describe it, and candles and all it and all the about it in the 17th and 18th chapters and the 19th chapter. Says what will happen to it, first through the third verse, it's going to be destroyed, and there'll be no more. Thank God, God's going to win. He's on the winning side, and if we're on his mm-hmm. side, we're going to win with him. But we got to walk humbly, do justly, love mercy, fear God, and keep his commandments. This is what the Lord requires of thee, and this is his will, so that we love Catholics and pray for them and witness to them. We want them to go to heaven and all. And it's a system. We have to be against the error and falseness that'll lead them astray, but love their soul, love them, and witness to them, and pour love on them, and tell them how they got to be born again, not by being immersed or a little sprinkled, I mean, not immersed, just sprinkled a little bit of water on them, baby, and now they're born again. No, that's not right. But witness to them and love them, and eventually it will cease to exist, and the church, the bride, will shine forth.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Brother Nate, did you want to comment on that one as well?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Brother Daniel. He has an Antichrist spirit. I can't say he's the Antichrist, but yes, he has an Antichrist spirit. And it's true that, you know, the history, many people don't understand about the history, even of the, quote, popes in the Roman Catholic Church and the things that they did and to the true believers. And I want to put the quotation marks and stress the true believers, the ones who said Jesus is Lord and would not uplift the Roman Catholic Church. So therefore, yeah, I'm in agreement with my brother.
Amen. Rev, did you want to add anything
brother,
to
brother,
that?
Brother, also.
Go ahead, Brother Nate.
I just want to take a minute also to say one thing to the question you had before that about why were there so many wives were permitted, in the Old Testament. And I think that, you know, sometimes when people ask that question, the thing you have to watch that they look for it to should be legalized now. If God, you know, they did it back then, they should be able to do it now. But sometimes people don't understand that that's a difference between God commissioning something and God permitting something. Now, you know, when you look at the commissioning, you go back to Adam and Eve. If that was the set way of the Lord, he would have made Adam, Eve, Susie, and Mary. But he didn't do that. And when you go to the New Testament, he mentions back the Old Testament of Genesis with Adam. And so we also must understand that men were still unregenerated. They were the servants of God, okay? And remember that the Holy Ghost didn't come upon everyone, okay, but the prophets, priests, and the king. And so God dealt with man to a particular point because man was still, you know, fleshly dominated in their nature. They hadn't been regenerated. But now we are in the days where you can be regenerated and be born again. So that's what I wanted to say to that.
Amen. Amen, Brother Nate. Last question, and each one of you can go ahead and answer this one. I get a lot of people saying, you know, you crazy Christians been saying that Jesus is coming back and we're in the end times. When is he coming back? And so I flat out have gotten that question, when is Jesus coming back? And you know, we all know to quote the same scripture to say, hey, no man know the time, the day or the hour, you know. But people are like, well, he must not be coming back because y'all been saying Jesus on his way back for the last 20 years, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with you, Rev, if you want to go ahead and answer that. And then we'll go down the line with Brother Daniel and then Brother Nate, finish up with Brother Nate.
So I don't think we can properly answer this question without going back to Thessalonians when Paul was having a conversation because the people of Thessalonica thought that their loved ones who had passed on would not have the opportunity to be resurrected and when Jesus returns. And so if people today think it's been said over and over and over, they have no clue because it's been the return of Jesus Christ has been talked about for over, you know, thousands of years.
And so
we need to get our focus off of when is Jesus coming back? From the perspective of trying to anticipate it, as if we can act a fool and live any kind of way up until we think he might come back, and then we'll spend the last week or last day or last hour getting ourselves together. When people talk about the word rapture, which we know is not in the Bible, but the Bible talks about being caught up. I'm not going to get into that conversation over the phone, because we could talk about that for months and months and months. But I tell people, don't focus on if there's pre-tribulation, post-tribulation. Don't focus on none of that. What we need to be focused on is living a Christ-led life now, because guess what? We may not see the rapture. We may not see his return. And you may leave here in the next moment. So I can tell you this, I don't know when Jesus is returning. That's what my answer always is to people. But you also don't know when you're going to die. And so your focus doesn't need to be on when is Jesus returning. And I'll take it one step further and then I'll be done. Most people who have taught in the church that Jesus was returning, I don't think some of them actually did it justice, because if you looked at, depending on when they said it, some things in the Bible had not yet been fulfilled. Like when you think about it, when you think about today, a lot of prophecy has been fulfilled, which makes it extremely possible for his return to be imminent. Now, when I say imminent, could I tell you 20 years, 30 years, 5 years? I don't know. But my focus is not when Jesus is returning. My focus is on living the best Christian life I can live and serving God, because I don't know, not when Jesus is returning, I don't know when I'm leaving. So I don't focus on his return. I focus on serving him until I leave. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Daniel, would you like to add something to that?
Well, that is well said. Jesus reprimanded the people in his day that they didn't know it was the time for his coming, his first coming. But the day nor the hour, they didn't need to know that, but they did need to know the general time that we're in, the last days before his coming. And the angel says that people alive now will be alive when he comes. He said that two or three times. And so we know it's close. Every day, one day closer. But the day nor the hour, no. Nobody knows at any time. I've heard them say it. I knew people that have said it. And they get, one time, guy got in the news, you know. There's a big mistake, because only the Father knows, Jesus said. Not even the angels know. But we're really close. And like you said, we need to be focused on being ready, because even if it, we don't know when we would individually have to would leave this world, if we, you know, had a heart attack or accident or something, he's come far as we're concerned, and so we need to prayed up and ready to go up whenever he does come. That's the main thing, like the brother said, that's the main thing, so that he is coming, but there's scriptures that got to be fulfilled. There's a lot of them that haven't been fulfilled yet. So it's close, but exactly when, we don't know. We just don't know, period.
Amen. Brother Nate, would you like to add something to that as well?
You know, I agree with Reb, and I agree with Brother Daniel. You know, most of the people that ask that question wants a number. See, man wants numbers. And the bad to say, that same spirit that crept in the church, we want numbers now. We don't want the word soon from Christ. Soon coming. We don't want to hear words like that. We want number. We want the exact time. And like Red was saying, if God were to have given us exact timing, how is it going to be walking by faith? You would have perfect knowledge. Faith is not perfect knowledge. It's you believing what God said. So when you come across people that ask that question, they want a number. That's why they tell you, so you Christian been saying it for so long, because they want a number. And see, I'm not going to do like I've heard some ministers do, give them. I heard one particular minister, to be honest with you, well known, I'm not going to call his name, but in the year, I think that was the year 2000, he got on TV and told people, well, I believe it's going to be around 10 to 15 years. Why? If I was talking to him one-on-one, I would ask him, brother, why did you do that? What do you mean around 10? Why you even give him a number? I said, listen, Jesus told you. This is what Jesus said. Remember in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the disciples asked that question too. They wanted a time. They wanted numbers. What did Jesus give them? He gave them events. He said, look for these events to happen, what, first? Because we got to remember God is a God of order. God is not a God of disorder. That's why when people tell me, say, well, you know, Jesus can come back any day, I said, no, he can't. Well, what do you mean, no, he can't? I said, because he set certain things in order before his return. I said, he just didn't give you a date. Because it would not be walking by faith if he gave you a number. When Jesus talked to us, when Jesus talked to us and tell us, said, listen, you're going to go through a trial, be honest. What's one of the first things we want to know? How long? And when we ask God how long, we ain't asking him how long for words, just words. We want numbers. And for the most part, you notice in the scripture, there's some things God gives numbers to, but for the most part, he doesn't give us an exact date. You just know that you have to walk by faith. Okay? So when people come and ask me, say, when is he coming? I said, well, I'm going to tell you what he said. Well, that ain't no – I said, well, you go talk to him. I said, because he said, no man know the day nor the hour. And he didn't give that number. Why? Because Jesus no man. He no man. Even he tell you what? He tell you even the angels. He no man. If he sent an angel to us, you know what we're going to be asking that angel. Hey, listen, Gabriel, before you leave, I got to ask a question. Gabriel, what day Jesus coming back? Give me a ballpark figure. He know us. He know we were asked that. We were asked that question. And see, he said, you can't ask no one because that's reserved for the Father. And I understand that because if he gave us dates and numbers, we would not walk by faith. Like Rev said, we'll go and live any kind of way, and then we find out, ooh, I got 30 minutes. Then we want to live righteous for that 30 minutes, expect to go in with the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, brother. I really appreciate that. Each one of you, I appreciate joining me tonight. That's the end of our broadcast. I want to say thank you to Reverend Murphy and Brother Daniel and also Brother Nate for joining me. And all the listeners who are listening, even though you didn't call in with your question, you can always email your question to godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Tomorrow we have Brother Nate coming back, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Brother, you can let them know what the broadcast is going to be about.
We're doing part 3 of the Masonic Order in dealing with the Masonic Order exalting Lucifer.
Amen, amen. Brother Daniel, you'll be back next Monday at 4 p.m., correct?
Yes. I definitely hope to be because I just appreciate the great privilege of being able to be on your broadcast. The Lord knows I'm telling you the truth from my heart.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Daniel. Rev, do you have any upcoming broadcasts or videos or live broadcasts you'd like to let everybody know about?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I thought maybe Rev is going already. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and end the broadcast. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. May God bless you. May God keep you and go with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
We give you.